When it comes to commercial banking, relationships matter. At Associated Bank, we've got you. With a dedicated team of relationship managers helping you secure financing to best serve you today and tomorrow. Visit associatedbank.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
We're on with Don Lloyd, the Senior Vice President of Capital Markets, Foreign Exchange and Derivatives at Associated Bank. Don, welcome back.
Steve, thanks for having me back.
I'm going to talk a little bit about where interest rates are and whether or not we've seen an increase in something called bridge lending.
We certainly have. And bridge loans, you know, bridge lending, bridge loans, swing loans, they go by a lot of different names. They are global. They've been around for a while. Not a new product, but certainly with interest rates on the move and moving higher, which is making borrowing a little bit more difficult, these are starting to increase in volume once again. So they've been around, but the volumes have been relatively flat for the past 10 years. But ever since the Fed started tightening, highest targeted Fed funds rate that we have seen in the last 22 years, these bridge loans are starting to come back quite aggressively, not just in the U.S., but on a global basis. Essentially what they are, Steve, is that if you've got some assets that you need to sell, property, companies, whatever, and you're looking to buy another one, used to be that, well, sell the one you own and buy the new one that you want. And now that interest rates are high, it's getting a little bit more difficult to sell those properties that you own. So what happens with a bridge loan is that it sort of steps in. It's a short-term loan that sort of finances the purchase of what you want to buy before you have sold what you want to own. There's a lot of pros and cons to it. And like I said, these things are on a global basis. They're at about 22 developed countries globally. China has booked about $240 billion of these bridge loans over the last 5 or 6 years. So these things are quite active, and there's some pros and cons around it.
I would suppose one of the cons is that you might find yourself in a situation where you can't pay it back.
That's exactly right. These are short-term loans, 6 months, 12 months. And if you don't sell the property that you're looking to sell within that time period, your bridge loan is going to come due. And it's going to run out. The pros to it, a lot of times the interest is deferred until you're able to sell the property that you own. Other cons to it is that is a lot of work for lenders, so there's usually higher closing costs and higher fees associated with it. But, leave it to capitalism and free markets to find solutions and products that sit there and meet borrowers' needs. I love the capital markets, but I love the free markets, and I love capitalism.
Is there one sector that uses these bridge loans more than another?
Yeah, I mean, you're going to see them a lot in the mortgage markets. You're going to see them in the purchases of physical assets when it comes to property and businesses and things like that. That's usually where you see them. But for the most part, I always think of mortgages is what I usually think of. But
Don,
again, these products are used globally.
Yeah, Don, do you have a prediction about when we might see interest rates start to come down again?
Well, I've sort of moved from higher longer to high longer. So I think we're probably close to the end of the cycle of when the Fed is tightening. They've certainly been quite aggressive compared to the other countries around the world when it comes to the tightening cycle. When that occurs, when you get to the peak, and we're very near the peak, I do believe it, I don't think you're going to see the Fed start to lower rates anytime soon. I think they're going to make sure that inflation is certainly under control, that there's no fear of it flaring back. And I think they're going to err on the side of being slow rather than quick, even if you see the economy start to dip. If you take a look at CPI over the last 5 months or so, core CPI, that is. So, throughout the volatile things like food and energy. But core CPI has been running just under 3%, about 2.8%, right around in there. So it has come down quite significantly since a year ago when it was running north of 7% or up towards 8%. So we've certainly seen it move in the right direction. I think you're getting towards the end of the tightening cycle. but I don't think you're going to see short-term rates start to come down anytime soon.
Are you one of the folks who think we might still see this soft landing continue, or are you fearful about what might be coming in the months ahead?
You know, pick a day. I change from day to day. I will go to a soft landing. The Fed has done a very nice job getting ahead of this thing. I wake up the next day and fear just sort of overwhelms me that we're going to be in for a big recession and it's coming. So I think I'm like a lot of people in the market that's sort of sitting on the fence and just sort of reading the wind, see which way the wind's blowing, how are the economic numbers coming out. And right now, they are just all over the map. You'll start to see, inflation coming down and it looks like a soft landing, and all of a sudden you get a GDP figure that comes out or an inflation number that comes out and it flares it right back up again. So I don't know. At this stage, I think that you're going to see rates high for longer, not higher for longer, but high for longer. And a soft landing, I haven't ruled out by any stretch of the imagination. If anybody can pull it off, the Fed has. I think they've done a pretty brilliant job over the last year and a half, 2 years, getting inflation under control, getting ahead of it, and getting confidence into the market.
Let's talk a little bit about the current state of the dollar. We've seen it rise throughout the second half of this year. Is that going to continue?
Yeah, I think I think there's a lot of things going on in the dollar that's going to make it quite attractive. You know, everything from the geopolitical events that are going on to rates of return. And you know me, to me, the strength of the weakness of the dollar versus other currencies is all dependent on that interest rate differential. Where are U.S. interest rates compared to the country you're looking at, you know, whether it's Switzerland or whether it's Europe or whether it's the U.K.? And now, since we have tightening cycles going on, we have this thing that's coming back into spotlight, which are real rates of return. And where are real rates of return advantageous? And right now, the U.S. is running a positive real rate of return. That's when your interest that you earn on investment, less your inflation, is positive. That's a positive real rate of return. You take a look at Mexico, it has a very positive real rate of return, and as does China, believe it or not. Every other country that you look at, the U.K., European zone, Australia, they all have negative real rates of return, and that's got to start to be put into the mix and the blend as far as where the money is going to go, this global pool of money that sloshes around that is looking for a return versus some amount of risk. So to me, the U.S. is in a really nice position to continue to attract funds and investments coming into it, as well as the geopolitical background. If the Middle East continues to escalate, you're going to initially see currencies like the Swiss franc, the Japanese yen, they'll benefit from it at first. But I think that money comes into the U.S. After it goes into Switzerland and Japan first. That's usually a knee-jerk reaction for safe haven currencies when the U.S. is involved in some kind of conflict like this. But the U.S., given the size, the scope of the military, what we have, all the little toys that are out there, it is a safe place for money to come back into, and I think you're going to see that. So, I don't know. I'm very bullish the U.S. dollar. I think the next major move will be for a stronger dollar, probably get the euro down below parity. The other countries in their tightening cycles, they tend to be behind the Fed quite a bit, and they have a lot more concern about pushing their economies that aren't as deep as the United States. They're concerned about pushing their economies into a recession. So they're going to be slower to raise, probably quicker to lower than the U.S. will.
Don, great conversation as always. How can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
Yep, I am available on the trading desk 5 days a week at 866-524-8836.
All right, Don, we'll talk to you next time. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.